that?
Tui and applesauce. Three words for that. Ooh, blah, and blah. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Oh, it's gangbusters.
Damn a shake in FL. In FL and Dave. Damn a shake.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? Hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 73 of the Dave Damashek football program. A belated Dave Damashek football program. Available as always on iTunes. Seated my immediate right, ready to talk football and the world of sports. Nay, just the world. From NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure, my pleasure.
The summer of Rank continues on.
I see on Twitter, I follow you on the Twitter, at Adam Rank, and you always are making reference to this summer of Rank jazz. I have no idea what it means.
It is. It's hard to quantify. It's more of a lifestyle than anything else. I don't think it's any big thing that you can follow. It's not a regimen you can follow. You just got to be living the summer of Rank, you know. And it was
pretended to be a Kings fan, and so you feel you feel happy about that. You feel happy about your Halos turning it around.
Am I pretending to be a Halos fan too?
No, I know that that's sincere. At least.
Oh, okay. Thank
what
you.
I'll tell you whose summer it ain't. Dave Damashek's.
No?
I want to know if it's the summer of Rank. When's it my turn? When does the sun get to shine on me already in this life? It's more than half over, I gotta assume. When's it Damashek's turn already? Let me tell you what happened to me, Rank. And then, well, don't worry. We got the great Steve Smith, our old pal. Mm-hmm. He's coming up in a little bit. He's going to be in Studio 66 for the first time. That'll be grand. Just yesterday, in case you missed it, the final 10 names of the top 100 of the NFL Network's top 100 players of 2012 unveiled. As usual, Rank, you and me did our podcast. Look for that. Obviously available on iTunes, and you can also track it down at davedamashek.nfl.com. Do so, won't you? Listen to what happened to me the other day, though. 2 days ago, I'm at the gymnasium making my miles. That's right. I like to make some miles on the treadmill, you see.
You're not – what about the weights? Are you throwing around the weights?
Well, I mean, as you can see, I do have a little bit of glow, a little summer glow from the Southern California sun, and – I'm not exactly putting up 30 reps at 225 or anything like that. But I pick up the weights, and when that happens, they call it. They say the Iron Age has blended with the Bronze Age, as you can see.
Is that what they say?
That's what they say. That's right. People talk about that.
Pecs are coming in. You're looking a little bit more intimidating.
Sure I am. But nothing compared to the man that I saw at the gymnasium the other day. He had on a ridiculous – he was very fit, this guy. Young guy. Really, really fit and ripped and pleased. But not – I don't mean Schwarzenegger ripped. I mean like, you know, more Brad Pitty.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like movie star
John
muscles.
John Eric Hexum.
Yes, great name from the past. The late great John Eric Hexum.
Yes,
Google
sir.
Him, kids. He lost his life in an odd way.
That's my foundation. I run the John Eric.
In the 80s, there was a TV show called Cover Up. Yeah, it was only on for like 5 or 6 episodes
because he died. Yeah,
somebody shot him with that. They thought
he shot himself
as a joke.
He did it. He was. They were sitting around the set. It was taking a long time in between takes, and then they said, "Oh, we're going to have another delay." He picked up a prop gun. Put it to his head and pulled the trigger like, hey, I'm going to kill myself. He actually did because even though there's a blank in the cartridge, it still expels something and it hit his head and it caused a minor fracture, but enough to cause hemorrhaging in the brain and he died.
Well, you expel something that causes minor hemorrhaging in my brain. But all right, listen. So I'm at the gymnasium and this guy is down there and he has on a turquoise tank top that he has fashioned. He's taken the scissors or whatever to it, or maybe he's gone Hulk Hogan and ripped it himself.
Right.
All the way down just above the navel to show his ample muscular bosoms and his ripped abs for all the world to see.
Okay.
Then he's tucked that into his sweatpants.
All right.
Then he has on his dirty shower flip-flop things, you know? And it occurs to me as I'm making my miles, I'm winding them down on the treader, and it occurs to me, I should start a whole series because, like everybody else, when you're at the gymnasium, you see people in ridiculous outfits, mm-hmm. odd-looking individuals.
I hate the guy wearing cargo shorts.
Yep, I don't like that guy.
Cannot stand it.
Well, there are a lot of people. I don't like the mayor of the gymnasium, the guy who works the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Is this it for you? Is this your high watermark for socializing?
Yep.
Knows everybody. You don't have to come up to me and comment on my T-shirt. Pittsburgh Pirates, huh? I used to watch Roberto Clemente. Good for you. What are we going to talk about? Are we going to have a long exchange about this while I'm trying to, in vain, try to do a pull-up? Come on. Please, leave me alone.
Yes.
I'm humiliated enough without you standing there trying to have a conversation about a real athlete.
There was a legendary guy in the Huntington Beach 24-hour fitness named Steve O'Brien that my friends and I, for now the mayor of any gym, is known as the O'Brien.
Very nice. Well, so there are many characters. And so it occurs to me I should start a series mm-hmm. on Twitter or otherwise, or maybe we'll do it on the DaveDamashek.NFL.com blog page. Maybe that's a good home for this. Is I just would like to have a collection of photos. In fact, why doesn't everybody, in the spirit of togetherness and communication with the social media out there, why don't you tweet me at Damashek, DAMESHEK. Tweet me whatever individuals you see at the gymnasium, and we'll just have to blur those photos out because I don't think you're allowed to show faces of people.
Sure you can.
I don't think you're allowed to.
We're in a public spot. I think that's legal.
I think no, but anyway.
I don't think, as long as we're not selling them. It's in the realm of journalism.
All right, counselor. Now listen, I don't want to working the finer points of our legal system. I'm telling you this story. So I decide I'm going to take a picture of this ridiculous outfit,
mm-hmm.
and it will be the first in my ongoing series of bad outfits for the gymnasium. So I'm worried, the guy might leave before I finish. I better jump off the treadmill right now. I'm going to take a photo of him. So I jump off. I go down. I get my cell phone to take the picture, and I'm so stupid that I forget that I've jumped off a moving treadmill, and when I go to take the photo of the guy, I go to put my foot on the treadmill to stabilize myself, and of course it's still moving, so I fall, bam, hard on my face. I slam down on the treadmill, causing those around me to run to me. Are you all right? Are you all right? I'm humiliated, of course. So I slink over to the side of the treadmills, and I'm all by myself, except that there's one guy next to me giving me the stink eye, like, what are you taking photographs of people lifting weights for? And I say, and I tell him my purpose. I say, this is the first in a series of ridiculous gym outfits. Look at that guy. And I chuckle, and he straight faces me, like, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't care for it, and continues on his treading. And so now I'm taking pictures of a random guy in the gym, and I take 8 or 10 of them, and I'll show you my cell phone to prove that this is no jive. I take all of them, taking these pictures. Suddenly I feel a tap on my shoulder. It's an employee of the gymnasium saying, sir, what are you doing? You're not allowed to do that. If you want to sign a waiver, you can do that if this is for some public use, so on and so forth. And then I say, no, don't worry. This isn't for public use. So now this guy walks away. What's he? I'm just some creepy guy taking photographs of people lifting weights at the gym. So the point is, my new art, this new project that I've taken on comes not without its pain. First, I face plant on the treadmill, and then I'm humiliated by getting busted by the person at the gym telling me to stop doing this, to stop taking random pictures.
I think it's a lot better if you actually take a picture with the guy.
Ah.
Because that's gravitas right there. Be like, hey, can I take a photo? I kind of want to, I admire your ripped abs.
Your outfit is ridiculous. Yeah. So I got to. Anyway, I just wanted to share that horrible story of what happened. All right.
Are you getting out the photos?
I'm getting them out as we speak here. We have to get to, along with Steve Smith, we're going to be getting to, we're going to return 2 weeks later to the launching of our new segment, Dead or Alive.
Oh, sweet.
So we'll play a little Dead or Alive. Here he is. See the picture of him? We'll put that up, like I say, on DaveDamashek.NFL.com.
Please say that I have the photo. I'm sorry. No. Oh, yeah.
See? Look at that outfit.
You know what? It looks like a singlet. Like he's wearing a wrestling singlet like somebody.
The neon green.
It's neon green, which is good.
Shirt. Yeah.
And he's got, when you're that big, you can have sandals on.
No, it's never acceptable.
I don't like, he's got the black sweats with the red, and it's just not matching enough. What do you feel? I don't know if you're one of these people, but if you're wearing Reebok shoes. Can you wear Nike socks coming out of it, or do you have to have some sort of plain, nondescript socks? Do you mix?
No, it's fine. I don't care about brands and such. You know, I don't like, though, when hipsters go out of their way to wear different color socks. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you know you're doing that when you're walking out the door. You're trying to affect the "I don't care" vibe for the world.
Two different colors, yeah.
Yeah, that goes too far.
That's ridiculous.
All right, so listen, we're going to do the – should we do Dead or Alive right now? There's one thing I did want to mention, though. Did you notice early in the week that there was a tropical storm by the name of Debbie?
What?
Debbie, and it wasn't even D-E-B-B-I-E, which I think is the most common way to spell Debbie. Mm-hmm. Or better yet, why don't we just go with Deborah?
Right.
Makes it more formidable.
Yeah.
This to call a hurricane or to call a natural disaster Debbie and then spell it with a Y, may as well spell it with an F, if you know what I mean,
right,
to the people who have to deal with that. Because now they're not only having their homes destroyed by this natural disaster, but it's by the natural disaster named Debbie with a Y. You know, it's ironically dainty, and I don't like it. And then that led me to start thinking, why don't they use the world's, or at least America's most popular sport, NFL football, and name a hurricane DeBrickashaw?
Yeah.
Now that at least there's some dignity in that. I lost my home to Hurricane DeBrickashaw. Who could handle that? You right. couldn't. Then I started thinking, well, the NFL gives us a lot of good names, actually. What about these? DeBrickashaw is probably the best, but I like this one. Mm-hmm. Like the cornerback of the Denver Broncos, Hurricane Champ. I mean, if you lose, you lose. That's what you're expected to lose to. Hey, that
at least,
one.
At least we lost to the champs.
That's exactly right. What about there's the linebacker Bear Woods, mm-hmm. Hurricane Bear again.
Hurricane Bear, okay.
No shame in losing to that one. Hurricane Zoltan, you know, Zoltan Mesko.
I know
punter.
Him.
Hurricane Zoltan, kind of scary at least. Yeah. Sounds exotic.
It sounds like the bad guy from Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. By the way, Sam T. Jones is the actor's name who plays Flash Gordon in The Gem. He apparently has a bit part in the new movie Ted. So I'm going to see that just for that. And then I was thinking, what about, you know, you have like Muhammad Massakoi. Could you go Hurricane Muhammad? And then I think that would set off among the politically correct people of our society,
mm-hmm.
an outrage.
No, yeah.
But why? You know why? Why do they have Debbie?
Can the Middle East have Hurricane Jesus?
I don't. I think.
Would you feel like?
I think it's physically impossible for most of the Middle East to have a hurricane, right?
Yeah, you never know.
But it's an interesting question. You can't do that, though.
No. No.
You wouldn't be allowed.
You'd have to, you know.
It'd be frowned upon to do it, but
yes.
I don't know why. It's a popular name in this country. There are plenty of people named Muhammad. Would that be an insult for it to be that way? Anymore? I have a sister, Debbie. Should she be insulted that there's a tropical storm, or should she be flattered by it? It's interesting. And then
That's
I was thinking.
True. Wait, now you see, yeah.
DeBrickashaw is a great name. You know, Hurricane DeBrickashaw, the only one that might be better if not just among active players, but if we go all time, I think pretty cool, Hurricane Dick.
Sure.
That's pretty good. You know, Butkus, LeBeau, and whoever else, but that's that wouldn't, you know, make sense. Kind of fits.
Yeah.
Think about the guy.
Oh, it was Hurricane Dick.
Yeah. Butkus, you know, played with an edge, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like Hurricane and Dominican. Something like that.
I like it, yeah.
Hurricane Jack would even be good.
Can you do nicknames? Hurricane Night Train.
Hurricane Mean Joe. That makes sense. What happened? Hurricane Mean Joe is what happened. Ooh, I'm not surprised to see what happened to your property then.
Of course.
Then again, you could go the other way, and the NFL provides plenty of terrible names for a hurricane. Again, like on par with Debbie, even though these are fellas' names. Hurricane Chad. You know, no good. I don't want that. Hurricane Chad got the better of me. No, thank you. Hurricane Cam. Hurricane Percy.
Percy.
No, no, thank you. I don't want that. Then then you have guys like Ziggy Hood. Hurricane Ziggy. Oh, that's a cartoon. Beat me up. That's embarrassing. Hurricane Frosty. That seems like a double. That seems like a mix. They have to be really cold. Like that would hit only Maine in winter or something like that. Hurricane Frosty. And then probably the worst one is Hurricane Beanie. Imagine if you got taken down.
It sounds like an accessory.
Yeah.
Hey, are you wearing your Hurricane Beanie?
Also Hurricane Jay. That wouldn't be good. Hurricane Jay got me. Hurricane Seth.
Back in my college days, I messed with Hurricane Jay.
Hurricane Sage.
That too.
Yeah. So anyway, just food for thought, as they say. All right, so what do you say there, Black Tie Behind the Glass? What's the poop, by the way?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good. While we're talking names, let me just remind you, Black Tie was good enough to put up a post of something we were talking about, a poll question, I should say, something we were talking about last week on episode number 72. I brought up the worst nicknames, and we were talking about LaDainian Tomlinson and his retirement. So I said LT. Any initial-based nickname is lazy in my book.
Of course.
LT, CJ2K, all those. So we put it to a poll.
A-Rod
is lame. It's a stolen name, and you stole it from a weird guy at that, Aaron Rodgers. By the way, congratulations on being number one on the top 100 there. If you didn't hear, that's maybe a spoiler alert if you didn't hear. But Rank and I, like I say, did talk about it on Wednesday's podcast. Go and dig that one up. You'll hear our review of the top 10 names from the year 2012. Also, yeah, I should say we decided not to do the podcast on Tuesday. We're doing it as we record. It's Thursday. And so listen to that. Sorry for the two-day delay on that. But by far and away, the runaway, 4,500 of you voted on this poll. Mark Sanchez, a.k.a. Sanchez. 58%. That's a huge amount for all the names we threw out. 58% of you went for that one. They hate that name. Well, it's because it's bad. Talk about sadly ironic. That's it. He's anything but. Same thing with CJ2K. Yeah, he's a far cry from those 2K. Let's see if he can get 1,500. I think fantasy fans would be thrilled with that. All right, so what do you say there, Black Tie? Do you want to get to Dead or Alive here?
Go ahead.
All right, then let's do it.
If your team is playing down, the shirt you're saying if you're dead or alive, dead or alive. If you're dead or alive.
All right, here's what we do. I'll just ask you guys a question, and you tell me based on the answer is one of two things: dead or alive. Hence the name of the thing. So let's do it right now, and I'll start off with this question for you. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, they're now world champions, if you didn't hear. They won it a week ago or so. And I've been talking about it, so this is old news to you if you've been listening to the podcast. I'm happy for LeBron. What are you rooting for? If you root for Oklahoma City, then you're sort of rooting for the heartbreak of Seattle fans who must be just disgusted to watch.
Good point.
To watch this team that, I mean, they had Kevin Durant in their last season. Then they all moved down to Oklahoma City. Suddenly they get to enjoy that glory while they went through what they went through in between from 1979 until a couple years ago when they lost everything.
And the owners of the Oklahoma City Thunder actually have a pretty – they're on a one end of a very polarizing political debate that rages in this country, depending on how you may feel one way or the other. So that a lot of fans who are rooting for Oklahoma City might not have known what the owner's politics were and might have disagreed.
I don't know the answer which way they lean, but. And then on the other hand, if you're rooting for LeBron, then that assumes that you don't mind seeing all those Cleveland people sad. So either way, that's a wash. Somebody, former fan base is going to be devastated by that. So to me, that was a wash. And I really, on a human level, I couldn't stomach watching. Everybody's, oh, he's a multimillionaire, LeBron. He did it to himself with his stupid decision. But it was really getting hard to watch that guy collapse. I'm glad to see him get over it.
Was it?
Yes. The other thing to consider is if the Heat would have – I mean, if the Thunder would have won, then they would have won the next three. I don't think anybody would come back. I don't know that there's a way to – once that team gets over the hump, I think then they go on a roll of winning probably three or four in a row now. So now we have what feels like a possible rivalry. Anyway, that's a fair amount of exposition for the dead or alive question, which is this. LeBron promised when he signed that contract. I think I even asked this exact same question on our first Dead or Alive. I'm going to do it again.
But now it's
different. You know, he said not one, not two, not three, not four. Is his dream of not two, not three, dead or alive rank? I'll start with you.
The Heat is a team. That part is dead.
Are a team. Don't get caught up in that grammatical conundrum.
Yeah.
The Heat are 12 guys. The Heat are a team.
The Heat are a team. They're not winning seven. They're not winning six. They're not winning five. They're not winning four. They're not winning three. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's dead. LeBron James is a choker. Dead. After he's won the championship, he's going to be a little bit more confident. He's going to be able to take over games more.
They always are.
But the guys like Chris Bosh and the other guys, those are the ones that start mailing it in. Hey, I'm a superstar.
What?
I won. Yeah.
Well, so you didn't answer the question. So are they going to win another one?
No. Dead.
So it's dead. They're one and done with their title. Black Tie, how say you?
I'll say this. Miami just won the title with their second best player being about 80% of himself. That
Correct.
Being Dwayne Wade and his
and
knee injury.
And one of the top half dozen players in the league, too.
If he's healthy, he's top five in the league.
And honestly. He's getting younger, so.
No, he's getting older, understood. But still.
He's not at that breaking point for NBA players.
Give him a full offseason of
what
hard
is he, 31?
He's just 30 right now.
30, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He still has like 3-4 years.
But how many years has he been in the league? That's the big thing. Like Kobe's only, what, 32, but he's been in the league 15 years or something ridiculous?
Kobe's 34, isn't he?
Around there, 33,
all right, go ahead.
34. Anyway, so they just won the title with their second best player being a shell of himself. So I would be very scared if I'm other NBA teams. I still think they can win two or three. I don't know. Four and five, all that gets really tough. So I would say two and three, which puts them at, what, four in total? Let's say four.
Okay.
Yeah, but Chicago didn't compete this year because they lost.
Well,
their
let me
best.
Just say
they're,
something
we're not
to
competing
you.
Regardless.
Let's check with the doctor who's on hand here to check dead or alive. I, by the way, say that his promise of at least two, I'm going to go, I'll stop there. I'll say that that is very much alive, but let's hear what the doctor says.
Staying alive, staying alive.
Yeah, of course it's alive. Listen, Rank, you just brought up what I was going to say, that the Chicago Bulls didn't have Derrick Rose, which you know, was, guess what? Derrick Rose ain't necessarily going to be 100% even in the playoffs next year. And that is the number one rival to the Miami Heats going forward, at least in the short term, in the Eastern Conference. So who's in the Heat's way of getting to the finals again next year? The Celtics? No. They're probably – the Heat may have Ray Allen by that point. Ray Allen might be on the Heat. And who else is coming up? The Sixers? Are the Sixers going to do it?
No.
Are the Pacers scary? They're fine, but what piece are they going to add that's going to make them ultimately capable of beating the Heat?
The Sixers – or excuse me, the Bulls could add somebody too. They could add somebody like Ray
if
Allen.
If Derrick Rose is not 100% and the dominant point guard, then they cannot beat that team. So they should always get to the finals. And yes, the Thunder probably are going to be there. It sets up to be very much like Bird and Magic in the 80s, that maybe these teams will trade championships. But I see no reason why the Heat, you know, Dwayne Wade, keep in mind too, was not at his best this year, like Black Tie says. So let's say he's 100%, and they get through the playoffs with Chris Bosh with that injury. Remember, I mean, like 3 weeks ago, I think most people were throwing dirt on this Heat team, and now they're world champions. So, yes, I think that their hope of that is very much alive, and I'm sure David Stern and company are thrilled that LeBron got this one, because now it makes the next season much more intriguing that they're on top of the mountain and the Thunder still have to go get them. I think if it was the other way around, I think we would all sort of be thinking, wow, this is just the start. We're going to see two, three more of these now for that young Oklahoma City team. All right, enough about that one. All right, next up on Dead or Alive. Earlier this week, the big news, we now have a four-team playoff in college football. Everybody says March Madness is the best college tournament, maybe the best postseason tournament in American sports today. Are those days over now that we have a four-team college football playoff? Black Tie, how say you?
I say alive that college basketball is still
Better than college football.
Yes, and this is why. Just because the big reason that is so successful is a lot of it has to do with the Cinderella. And with a 14 playoff that's decided by the BCS still, there's still not going to be any Cinderellas.
All right. And look who just walked in there, that microphone jazz you just heard there, walking into the studio all the way from England, our favorite Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
Hi, Dave. I'm very sorry I'm late.
No trouble. You're looking very summery.
You're bronzy.
The sun takes to what I would have thought. I didn't know that Englishmen could take sun.
Well, it's taken exactly. I mean, I've been here about 18 months, and I've finally developed my pale skin is beginning to color.
Very good. Very good. I don't know if you heard the question, if you're ready to jump in on it, but we're in the midst of Dead or Alive here.
Oh, wow.
And the question was, with the announcement earlier this week of a four-team college football playoff, is March Madness now, or its days as the premier college sporting event or postseason event, is it as number one, Dead or Alive? Even though I couldn't get that sentence out,
no,
I think you understood
I
the spirit
do, I,
of
I
it.
I understand where you're going with it. I think they're probably still alive, but you know, just because of the tradition and the fact that it lasts such a long time. But, I mean, who isn't excited about that? And why has it taken so long to come up with this, you know, this incredible formula? Four good teams, mm-hmm. make them play each other, have a final. It's a pretty good idea. I can't believe no one thought of it before.
It's gangbusters. The thing that's funny is, if I'm not mistaken, it's 12 years before they can revise it now. I think they built that in, that there's no opportunity to go back in and tweak it no matter what. I don't understand why you would implement something like that. There's no way that you can sneak in there. Oh, we completely missed this collectively. We need to tweak it a couple of years in. Nope. Yeah. 12 years. That's the way they do their business. Yeah. But all right, so be it. I don't want to complain about it. Rank, how say you?
College basketball, the March Madness, as the premier sporting event, still very much alive. I know this, it probably doesn't mean much to you because you don't like Las Vegas. You don't like college basketball, which is weird because, you know, you went to Indiana.
False on both counts. So.
Now that Indiana's good again, you can pretend like you're a college hoops aficionado once more. Yeah, it's always going to be the best because it's a full day of games. It's two full days of games. It's the ultimate sport. It is the ultimate sporting event. Nobody can duplicate it. Black Tie is absolutely correct. The upset factor. Everybody remembers where they were when Lehigh beat Duke this year. You're just not going to be able to replace that. And plus, you got
wrong
a 14.
Again, I have no idea where I was.
You got a 14. Well, because you're not a fan. But you're going to have a 4-team playoff, and you could very well. It's going to end up 1 year, and I guarantee you, over the next 12 years or however long they get it, there will be a year where all four teams will be from the SEC.
Well, I highly doubt that. I think that's...
You doubt it? Really?
I think it's impossible. I think you're obviously exaggerating, but I can't...
I'm not.
If you're sincere about that...
I am sincere.
Well, let's see what the doctor says. For the record, I say that this college football tournament will trump the March Madness one, but let's see what the good doctor says. Yeah, it's dead. Of course it's dead. And in fact, by the way, it was I collaborated with the doctor. It was a trick question. March Madness was never the best college postseason tournament. Baseball had it beat. They do double elimination. That's the way to do it. Listen, this is good because it's going to be a meritocracy, Rank. I can see with the BCS as it was over the last, 15 years or so, 20 years? I don't even remember how long it's been in effect where they... where it was just the two best teams, so-called best teams, there was then room for the third team to always argue, well, what about us? And then you had every year or two, you had a Boise State-type team. Oh, undefeated. What about where's our shot? All right, there's enough with four teams, and that's it. There is no way that the fifth team will have any legitimate...
No, you're absolutely wrong.
There will never be a team that could say, we want our shot. The fifth team and sixth team might say, what about us? We want our shot at the national championship. That's that. they can argue for that fourth spot, but there is no legitimate claim if you're that far back that, well, we really are the best team in the country. No, you're not. There's no way that you could be categorized as such if you're rated fifth or sixth at that point. I think it's pretty much bulletproof, and I love it.
No, there will be a time where an undefeated mid-major type team will not go to this tournament because a one-loss Big 12 team, a one-loss SEC, hell, a two-loss SEC team will always get precedent over an undefeated team like University of Central Florida. Like if they ran the table, or Boise State, or San Diego State.
Well, I wish I had it in front of me. If I had this in front of me, black tie, maybe you could look it up real quick over the last, like, say, 2 or 3 years. Last year, if this system were in place, you would have had Stanford play LSU. You would have had Bama play Oklahoma State, and then those winners would play each other, and you'd have a gangbusters Final Four tournament.
And the team that came third would say, we came third, and
we had
a good shot.
There would be no one else.
And the team that was fifth couldn't say.
There'd be no way that team could argue their way into it. Right. This is, to me, like I say, what do I always talk about? I always talk about a meritocracy. And I understand that all sports, NFL, baseball added the extra wild card this year because they like fans to be as big a percentage of fans to be as engaged as possible for as long as possible. That's what it's about. It's about television ratings, gate, and everything else. I understand the need for that. I'm talking about in a utopian world where those things didn't matter as much as proving who the best team is. I wish we could have a baseball world. I live with Major League Baseball. Two teams win the pennant, and then they play each other, and they play a best of nine series. I know that's not compelling for casual fans. Same thing with March Madness. I know I'm not going to tell this for the millionth time, but I don't like March Madness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to fill out your sheets and the assistant who doesn't watch. She loves to write down, pick the team who has the best uniforms or whatever, and then she wins, and it's adorable that happens. That has nothing to do with who the best team is. The team that wins the national championship is not the best team necessarily. I like when you have as few teams as possible, the teams that earned it over the course of a long regular season, getting there. This is what college football will be. We haven't lost any of the greatness of every week matters. That's why college football.
Still, no. We've lost that a little bit.
We have absolutely
guaranteed.
Not.
Guaranteed that we've lost it a little bit. What the year that the Fiesta Bowl had undefeated Boise State, undefeated TCU, are you telling me that year those two teams would have gone?
Both of those teams, I can't recall. I can't recall the circumstances.
But one of those teams would have been left out. So some that it will not. It will still be. There will still be arguments of teams not getting in, not getting their chance. What I would like to see with this, if it's true, like I would like to see. You know what? LSU, Alabama, all in the preseason. You can go across the country and go play somebody good and be entertaining. You don't have to play host to Appalachian State or one of the other curtain jerkers or mid-card jobbers of college football. Go play somebody good because now you've got a playoff in place. You don't have to worry about a preseason loss knocking you out of the contention.
Theoretically, that's true, but some teams, some programs didn't ascribe to that approach.
The approach is actually exactly how I experience the NBA season as well. I wait until there's just four teams left, and then I get excited about it. That's as far as I'm concerned, that's the best way to experience that.
See,
as well.
That's taken away the regular season of college football.
Well, I think this is wonderful news. I think it's going to be good. I still am guessing that you're joking and you're being hyperbolic by saying there will be four SEC teams, but. And your point, frequency of two teams like Boise State and TCU being undefeated is a very minor concern to me. I know you love to carry the torch for these mid-major teams and their place among the big boys and everything, but you know what? On the priority list, on the checklist, that's pretty far down there. This is going to be great. How can you possibly argue against this? Because the rare occasion that two traditionless teams that wind up undefeated conference,
TCU is
that they deserve their shot is hokum. No. It's hooey and apple.
And you think, but right now, and you think the College World Series is a bigger sporting event than March Madness.
I didn't say that. I like how you spin things. I didn't say it's bigger. I said better. I said it's better is what I said it is. And I didn't say I don't like Las Vegas. I said if you have an opportunity to go on a little road trip with the fellas, you want to go out for a good time, eat well, throw the dice around perhaps, all that stuff, go to the city of New Orleans. That's where it's at. Vegas is now one of Phil Jackson's so-called plastic cities. It's a city on steroids.
This sounds like somebody who doesn't like Vegas.
I like it fine. I like going out there for a couple of days and hanging out. But I'm telling you, if you want to go to an authentic place with delish, with
an authentic.
That's right. Okay. What do you think Las Vegas is? It's a blend of everything else. It has fake New York City. It has fake Paris and so on.
And New Orleans.
You get
fake
the New Orleans.
France. The French Quarter.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
No.
Just
as big of a tourist ripoff as anywhere else.
You're right. Yes, those people with their phony Cajun accents and everything. So silly, Rank. So silly. All right. Hey, Handsome, you just missed. I was thinking of NFL players' names. If you want to throw one in here, it's not too late. I said, instead of hurricane, we had Tropical Storm Debbie. Right. I know this is I am an ignorant American. Do they have hurricanes
UK? I think there was one in like 5 years ago. There was one.
Because the water's not warm enough, right?
There's just drizzle. That's really what that's our major weather type.
Does Italy have hurricanes?
No. I don't think nowhere in Europe really has regular like.
Why? Because the water isn't warm enough in Italy?
Well, the water's warm enough, but I think there's more that goes into it. It's not just we got some warm water. I appreciate
it. Am I, a meteorologist?
No,
don't come in here and attack me.
That's why you got it wrong, Dave. That's why you don't know.
I didn't know. So I said, why don't, instead of things like Hurricane Debbie, which is humiliating to have your home destroyed by something like that. Oh, I like that. What's not pathetic is your pronunciation of the word pathetic. Pathetic. I said, what about Hurricane DeBrickishaw? Any other names that strike your fancy from the world of the NFL?
Hurricane Jamarcus. I think that could do some damage to your house.
Good. Yeah, nice.
Hurricane Cromartie. That would spin off into several smaller hurricanes, maybe. none of which Hurricane Cromartie would know the names.
A decades-long scourge on the coastline.
It leaves the women pregnant.
Maybe.
I think you're a little too on the nose.
Oh, sorry.
Pregnant with fear?
Yes.
Did you do that one?
Yes.
Is that a little punch-up that makes it work, barely?
You guys are being too subtle.
Those are the two that I can think of.
Well,
your
new quarterback is Ryan. That's not exactly
that's
wouldn't
not
be very
a, that's
good.
Not
Hurricane
a tough,
Ryan,
no, Hurricane
wouldn't, be so
Ryan
good.
Wouldn't be so good.
Hurricane Ricky. Yeah. Larry, though.
Larry.
That wouldn't be bad.
Why don't they
Larry
Zonka. Larry's a hard-drinking kind of hurricane.
Hurricane Larry's coming for you. What's all you people doing here? Yeah, Hurricane Larry, the drunken natural disaster. Hey, I got an interesting tweet. If you'd like to drop me a line, please do. Again, it's at Damashek, and you can drop our English pal here, Handsome Hank, NFL UK Hank. I'm sorry, I always get confused with that. NFL UK Hank. And then Black Tie, do you care to update us on your Twitter? I don't know what you are so busy with that week after week you can't open a Twitter account so that people who listen to the show can hit you up.
There's a couple of things. There's my remix, obviously.
Yeah, what happened with that? I know you're busy not doing that, so.
Working on that. There's a lot of things going on, Dave. Don't worry about it.
I like how don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Except that it directly affects what we're doing here, so I kind of do worry about it. Do you want to open one or no?
Eventually.
All right, good. I'll look forward to that. I'll hold my breath. So somebody dropped me a line. Rank was doing a lot of movie talk and best football movies and so on. Over the last month at NFL.com. Look up all that work if you wish. In Triplicate Pod is the name of the person who tweeted me. And he says, makes an interesting point. Wesley Snipes has to be the only actor to have movies in which he plays four different sports. Football, he has the high school movie Wildcats with Goldie Hawn. Baseball, Major League, of course. basketball, White Men Can't Jump, and then Undisputed, a boxing movie. I never saw that one.
No.
But he's a four sport cinematic
hero.
Athlete. Is there anyone who could rival that? I think that's a great point there. And I mean, Gene Hackman coached high school basketball and pro football. But I can't even think of there's got to be guys.
Tom Cruise did three.
He did football.
Football. He was in the Irish fighting movie.
Okay, I'll give that one a pass. Yeah, that wasn't.
Man.
I don't think
and
that
motor
was.
Racing.
Those weren't sanctioned.
Yeah,
bouts.
He was. He was a motor racing. He's
right.
A NASCAR driver.
Right.
And he was a volleyball player in Top Gun.
Nah, I can't allow it. I can't allow the volleyball.
Dang.
You almost had it. Almost had it.
But he's got three.
Stallone is Balboa, of course. He's the world champion. Mm-hmm. And then he also plays soccer.
He does, in golf.
Against the Nazis. He is the goalkeeper against the Nazi scourge in victory. In golf? Did you say?
No, I said in goal.
Yeah,
Kevin Costner. But golf makes me think Kevin Costner is a golfer and a baseball player.
Sandler's got football, hockey.
Golf. He's an ex-golfer. Isn't he a pro golfer in Gilmore?
Football, hockey, and golf. Yeah, that's two in that one.
That's three.
But nobody,
right?
Yeah, that's three.
Well, that's pretty good. He's a two-sport athlete in the same movie. As is, what's his name? D.B. Sweeney in The Cutting Edge. He's an NHL player.
Tom Cruise, skater. Professional pool player. Color of Money.
Wow. Interesting. Take that in triplicate pod.
Yeah.
Rank got the better of you. I wouldn't be too proud of yourself in triplicate pod if Rank gets you.
What the hell is that supposed to
It's
be?
A draw. It's a draw is what happened there. Wow, that's pretty good, Rank.
Well, then I think volleyball puts him over the top.
Over the top. Stallone is a professional arm wrestler in over the top. This is all coming together.
We got to really work on this.
I think we've just scratched the surface here.
I think I know what we're going to be doing on NFL.com on Friday.
You could chase down Black Tie on Twitter, but of course he doesn't have a Twitter handle to tweet him at. So I guess you'll be forced to do it to me at Damashek and the rest of the fellas there. All right. So what do you think? Should we now turn things over to our pal Steve Smith? You know what? Why don't we do this real quick? Number 73, we honor the player who wore that number, the episode number, best in his athletic career, not just in NFL football, but in all sports. And today we have number 73. And get it ready there, Black Tie. I have to take out the Han Solo edition blaster once again and turn it upon myself. A couple weeks ago, I forgot to mention Geno Malkin, now the Art Ross and Hart Trophy winner from your Pittsburgh Penguins. I forgot to mention him among the great 71s. I put the blaster on myself for that one. What did I do last week? Number 72, I said LC Greenwood. Why did that get in my head when we had already mentioned him 4 weeks ago as number 68, of course, Hollywood Bags with the gold shoes on the great defensive end for the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the 70s. I somehow spit out that name instead of Dwight White's. I don't know what happened to my brain. Maybe it was the blaster. It was the sting of the blaster.
Maybe it was
sting,
yeah. What was that? So what was the photo on the, if you go to the Dave Damashek, the blog page when we
hard to remember. DaveDamashek.NFL.com.
It is hard to remember.
Apparently for you. Because you're too busy besting in triplicate pod. So number 73, not very rich in history. Of course, not in any other sport. Michael Ryder. From the Canadians and Bruins, and you know, nice sniper if you're a hockey fan, but not a future Hall of Famer by any means. Number 73 in the NFL, you have Mark May, Pitt Panther from those from the Danny Marino era. You have Larry Allen from the Troy Aikman Cowboys era, and then you have John Hanna from the Steve Grogan, and others.
Tony Eason. As well.
Yeah, Tony Eason. I wonder.
Joe Klecko.
Oh, really? Klecko.
From Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run. And I've mentioned that before, too, that is one of the weirdest
cameos.
Cameos, yeah. That it's Joe Klecko, and he's paired off with the guy, you know, because they all in Cannonball Run rules.
Yes.
Unless you're, if you're not familiar, are you familiar?
Oh, hugely.
You know the Cannonball Run.
Absolutely.
You know those
yes.
films.
Yes, those movies are. I grew up. I love those.
They're quite popular.
They're quite popular.
They drive a van. That's the car you want
no
to take
idea
cross Plecko country.
Was in it,
no, they don't drive a van. They drive a pickup. They drive.
No,
a,
no,
they
no,
drive.
No.
They drive.
He's
a
driving
four door pickup truck.
Don't make me prove you wrong. On
if
this.
You want to do
he
this,
drives
Rank,
a van.
If you want to do this, then let's do it. But let's have some stakes attached to it. What stakes do you want?
Stakes.
Don't play
Sounds
games
good.
With me. Don't play. Ah! Are
no.
you agreeing? With the under the watchful eyes of Black Tie and Handsome Hank.
So what's he driving?
What are the stakes of
Wait,
this?
What are you saying he's driving?
I'm telling you, okay. he and the guy who, by the way, the, why I love this pairing is, you have Joe Klecko, mm-hmm. all-pro defensive lineman from the New York Jets at the time, from the New York Sacks Exchange, and he's driving around with the actor who I've never seen before since, except in... The Swayze picture, the Demi Moore, Patrick Swayze murder picture. Ghost.
Ghost.
Couldn't think of what Ghost. The murderer. Not the guy who hires the guy, but the actual trigger man who mugs Patrick Swayze and shoots him dead and then gets eaten by the demons. Mm-hmm. That's Joe Klecko's partner in that truck. Now, this is your chance to get off the hook. The fact that I know that should indicate to you that I'm pretty familiar with Cannonball
what?
Run. And I'm telling you, they drive a four-door pickup truck that they inexplicably vault over a moving
great.
Train.
Yeah, you're absolutely
they vault
wrong.
Over a moving
no.
train.
That's not Joe Klecko. That's somebody else. That's not Joe Klecko. He's riding with the black guy. He's like, you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. That's not
right.
Joe Klecko. Joe Klecko's the guy who they pull over and he lifts up the van and he's holding it so he can change the tire. It's a gray panel van.
All right, what are the stakes?
All right,
that's all I'm
stakes?
Asking you for. I'm asking you what the
what
stakes
you,
are there, Rank.
Shave your head if you're wrong.
Well, that's not very fair, is it?
Oh. Name your price.
I mean, listen,
what
let's
do you got?
Let's think about this. Black Tie, what do you think the stakes should be? I say a tattoo.
A tattoo.
Tattoo of what, though?
And a weird. Big L on his fat forehead.
How about this? A tattoo of Dieter Brock is the best quarterback ever.
Oh, look at
Black
you.
Black Tie gets his
Get
first
game.
One. Takes the donut up next to his name there. We try to work
Black
Dieter
tie,
Brock.
You and I are tied at one each.
The great L.A. Rams QB, or the not-so-great L.A. Rams QB into every podcast. And whoever does it first gets the point. And this time, it's Black Tie who gets it. Good for you. Well, I mean, listen, I know I'm right about this, so I don't know what
great.
The stakes are. I mean, I don't know. How about $18,000?
Really? $18,000?
How about your papers? What
Done.
Do they call that? Your
My pink slip?
Your pinks.
Done.
Yeah, racing for pink slips?
Done.
All right, done. Pink slips it is.
Okay, what I'm going to do right now is pull up the scene from Cannonball Run.
All right, do it. I don't care what scene. I'm telling you when they drive. So what? What does that mean that that's his car? That's not his
that's
car.
That's his car.
It is not his car.
That is his car.
You guys want to take this argument?
He's driving this gray panel van in the exact same way I described it. And he gets pulled over.
I'm familiar with the scene. I'm familiar with the scene. That's not the car they race in. All right. So what do you say now? We'll settle this one in a little bit, and then I'm going to drive home in Adam Rank's car, or should I say Adam Rank's former car. In the meantime, here's what happened. A couple days ago, Steve Smith paid us a visit here at NFL Network. It was a great thrill for him to visit us in Studio 66. If you're not familiar, we've talked to him on the phone, Black Tie? Probably a half dozen times during the season and then
Eight
after.
Times.
And the most recent visit over the phone was after the Pro Bowl and all the Bounty Gate stuff, all the news was coming out about it and everything, and he went one step further that he was told that that by a DB from the Saints, was the contention of Steve Smith, that if the Saints DB said that he was told by the coaches he would be fined if he didn't take shots at Steve Smith, which is different. That's worse than we'll give you money if you hit the other team. if you don't do it, we're taking money away from you. You're going to get fined, which is worse. It became a little bit of a story, and he was asked about it in various other media. So anyway, we talked to him about that. We got to see him, and it was a great joy. Unfortunately, his time was very short because he was being pulled in a million different directions when he was in here. One, and two, I was running a little bit late that day, and so I showed up about a minute after Steve Smith himself walked into Studio 66. So right now, take a listen to our meet and greet with the great Steve Smith.
You're listening to Dave Demeshek.
And joining us in studio right now, in studio, I know it's weird to say because he joins us regularly on the Dave Demeshek football program. It is number 89 himself, Mr. Steve Smith. Steve, how are you doing today?
Is this my man?
Hey, yeah. What's going
on? Steve Smith, I'm late for our own show here.
All right, yes.
They finally joined us. Look who walked in.
After so
hours, hours. Mr. Hollywood. Steve Smith is
no
joining us.
No one's more humiliated about this Steve than I am, Smith. Steve Smith. Welcome to our home, Studio 66.
Or as a lot of people refer to it, the house that Steve Smith built.
That's true.
I like that.
They do. They
can
do.
Can I get some residual from that?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I want mine in stocks.
We need at least, it's really true. We need one of these, but times two. We need
how about one. How about one that's just somebody know that I was here? How about that? Because
Is that cool? We can have him sign the wall.
Yeah, we should.
What are they going to do? The NFL, you know how they are. They like things just so. They like everything uniform. But so what? You'll sign. Maybe this is the door.
Yeah, let's have him sign the
door. All right, we'll do that in a minute.
A new tradition. Well, it figures it to start with Steve Smith because, like I said, he is the guy who joins us all the time regularly. We enjoy having him on. The fans love having you on. That's the biggest thing is that people on Twitter, and it's not, you know, it's obviously more than just Carolina fans, but everybody loves Steve Smith. Probably more than us.
Because you're a straight shooter. That's why.
That gets me in trouble. It got me in trouble a lot when I was a kid.
Did you get in any trouble, by the way, speaking of trouble, or did anybody from Carolina, from the league, the last time you were on the phone with us, you talked
that whole,
about
the thing?
The Saints.
Yeah, no, nobody.
You elevated the thing to saying that you talked to one of the players.
No, it just came, you know. The individual that said something, it was a while back when he said something, and then when it all came, it was like, you know, it just kind of clicked. But, I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, hey, we've all stopped at that gas station, you know, so, hey, let's just keep going down the road.
So be it. All right, I see where you're coming from. Now, speaking of going forward, let's look forward to, well, first of all, let's talk about what you've got going on with Samaritan's Feet. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, you know, it's a great opportunity for me to kind of, as I transition out, at some point I will transition out, whether they throw you, kick you, or escort you out. You will, at some point, your career and whatever you do, you will, at some point, transition out. And so here in Carolina, there's a guy named Imani Ahome who started an organization called Samaritan's Feet. And basically what we do is give away shoes and socks. To underprivileged people, not just kids and children, but underprivileged people here domestically in the United States and then also as well as internationally. And so it's a pretty unique opportunity. And why am I with it? What do I gain of it? Is really it's right there in my backyard in Charlotte. And also, too, I love shoes. So it's a great opportunity. And then it's also another way to leave your imprint. In a way that we all strive and try to figure out how can we do something that's unique. But at the same time, not also as a football player, and I am a non-businessman, try not to do it myself and try to reinvent the wheel. You know, it's never been done. The wheel will never be reinvented. You can't. So it's an opportunity. So I work underneath them. Kind of as an NFL ambassador because that's my first job. But at the same time, my second job with my family, it gives me opportunity to serve with my family. So we go around and here in at the Los Angeles Rescue Mission, we're giving out about 500, 700 pairs of shoes to some homeless, unfortunate people. But the unique part of it with the Samaritans part is just giving without expecting anything in return. We wash their feet. You know, you can't give somebody new clothes or new shoes, some new kicks. you know, go ahead and wash their feet. I think it's the most humbling thing you could do is get on your knees, wash their feet, and tell them, hey, I know you're going through some tough times. I know you think that there's people that don't care about you. I know people have told you you're not going to amount to anything. It gives them an opportunity to be waited on, to be served by people that they have no clue who I am. Some of them don't. So it's a great opportunity, and it's self-fulfilling. But it's also it's self-examining. It shows that something so insignificant in this huge, huge world of the tech, of the industry, the 24-hour media on football, all that stuff, that there's someone right now in Charlotte, Peru, in Los Angeles, or in some small backwoods in Mississippi. A wife, a mother, an aunt, an uncle, grandmother, grandfather is really trying to make a decision on that 14-year-old kid that they've adopted or they've taken under their wing, become the guardian. He's a 14 or 15 or he's a 16 shoe. And in this day and age, you know, in this recession, in this bad times, Nike isn't in a recession. Reebok, you know, these people, a size 16 shoe is a pretty expensive shoe. Mm-hmm. And so you give the opportunity, we get to fill that void.
Great cause that you're a part of there, Steve Smith. Good for you. Not just giving money either, going around and doing it yourself and everything.
I'm invested as far as giving, as far as my family as well. So it's not just, hey, give us your money or give us your shoes. You know, me and my family, we've donated. Just off the bat, $50,000 and have a commitment of keep going and just heading it.
Well, we know you're generous because you took, we talked about it a few months ago, you took all your receiver pals and their families and the coaches and everybody out to Hawaii when you were a Pro Bowler. Now let's talk about 2012 coming up. You've been there in the OTAs and everything else. How does everything, well, you know, I should tell you, this guy over here, Rank, picks you guys to actually go to the playoffs this year. What do you think about that?
I have winning the NFC South.
You have them winning the division.
I have them winning the division.
I thought you was just a wild card.
But the question is, as you're bragging about him.
Yeah. Yeah, who are you? Yeah, who's your pick, by the way?
Oh, no. Not Carolina.
Weren't you saying it was Tampa Bay or somebody?
No, I think Tampa maybe. Atlanta has some interesting wide receivers.
Tampa's better than Carolina?
New Orleans, they're going to have some question marks. So, I mean, it's too tough, Steve. Well, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen this year.
Okay. That's cool.
What do you think? How do you feel? I mean, are you feeling like this division is winnable for you guys, or at least that you can achieve enough that you get into the NFC playoffs even as a wild card?
I think we hold our own. We withhold and we hold our own destiny. We have the ability to be a great team, and we have the ability to be a bad team. And so we have to do one or the other. We got to show up, or it's not going to be pretty. And I think Coach Rivera said it best. He put up a thing when we started OTAs and said, we are four games better than what we were the year before. So don't throw a party and don't think you've arrived. So I like that.
It's interesting. I think the specific issue on offense is you're loaded in the backfield now. You add Mike Tolbert to already filled backfield. You gangbuster season last year, Cam Newton. I expect, you know, all the stuff you're hearing out of camp is that he looks even better, that there's not going to be a sophomore slump. Time will tell with that. What about Brandon LaFelser? Who is going to step up to be a second option for you? I'm tired of seeing you getting doubled all the time.
Well, I don't necessarily say there's a second option. You know, LaFell, Brandon's done an extremely great job. You know, they had Legadu Nane they brought in because he was in this system. We all kind of struggled early because of the shortened learning process with the lockout situation. So I think LaFell, Brandon, I wouldn't necessarily say he's a viable option as the second option. I think he's a wide receiver that's out there just like me. And he brings to the table the versatility and the ability to become a very, very good receiver in this league. And so I don't really say that we need to have a viable second option. I think people need to understand and respect that he will be a phenomenal player. And the reason why maybe some of the things that were he didn't get the accolades and the respect is two things. We had a short time to learn a lot of information. And then Legadoo came in, and Legadoo performed very well. But Legadoo had a heads up on all of us. He knew what he was doing, plus us. So there was a lot of times where I'm looking at him like, I need some help as well. And he was a veteran. So you throw that into the mix. And then LaFell pulled a hamstring in training camp. So that put him back. So he was always fighting back with that. And then, you know, the first his rookie year, that was a rough year to be your first rodeo. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, he got in a rodeo and they gave him a donkey. You know, and it was a tough ride. And for a young guy, he wasn't able to shake that. And I think rightfully so. That's what makes young guys, that sometimes put in the wrong situation, it can have a reverse aspect on you that isn't healthy. But he's shaking it off with the new coaching staff, expecting more out of us. We have a full year that we actually know what we're doing, not just doing it and having cheat cards to try to figure it out on the run. We kind of get to sit down and say, this is called this and this is why, you know, and then having a thorough explanation really helps not just him, helps me, helps Cam. It helps everybody. So I think he's not going to be a second option. He is number 11, Brandon LaFell, starting wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers that will catch passes like he did against Tampa Bay, and is going to require guys like me and other guys to do their jobs where a guy catches a ball and you go out there and go get somebody and you go block. And so he doesn't show spurts of abilities to play. I think he showed everybody he has and will be a phenomenal player.
Do you see what we're doing here, Rank? Ultimately, yeah. What Brandon LaFell is experiencing, you know, if he's listening from what we're doing here in Studio 66, we're good cop, bad cop, and the whole team here. So you're the good cop. You're saying
I've always been the bad cop.
I believe, but not here. You're being the good. Oh, listen, Brandon LaFell, you're number 11. You're a legitimate NFL player. We're a playoff team. I'm bad cop and Steve Smith here to his mm-hmm. face, you see? Yeah. I don't think you can do it, Steve Smith. Now you have to prove me wrong. I said you're not going to the playoffs.
Well, you know, if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. But at the end of
I can't argue with that.
But at the end of the day, the NFL game is not played in Studio 66 with a nice highlighted board and you get to make the different colors and you get to say this. It's played, you know, it's played within the trenches. And so whether we make it or we don't, our stock doesn't rise or fall based on your predictions. You
know? I don't appreciate that. Yeah. I feel like I'm being attacked right now.
You should be. You should feel that way. The only thing is I feel bad because a lot of these players, they like to come out and say, nobody believed in us. Nobody. See, I'm saying that I do believe in you.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
When you're in the locker room in January in the playoffs.
One guy believed.
Actually, when we make the playoffs, mm-hmm. when we do the call, I will actually probably have a pie, probably a mincemeat pie, my grandpa's
Ooh,
favorite.
Very mm-hmm. nice.
Here, ready at Studio 66 so you can eat it.
All right, that's good. And you have to say, look, no one believed in us besides that fat bald guy in Studio 66 last summer.
I want him to watch you eat it.
Yes.
I'm talking about cold, too. Oh, yeah. Have you ever had mincemeat pie?
I have had a bite of it, yes, yeah. And I like it.
Well,
yeah.
You're going to eat more than a bite.
All right, listen, I know you took some ballroom dancing classes. As you go, you have a full day here at the NFL. Why don't you and Rank dance? Why don't we see what you have? Because we got the video camera here.
That's you're gonna, cool. No.
You're not going to
dance? No. You know, this is a liberal state, and I'm born and raised here, but me and... I'm a grown man. And I'm not going to dance with another grown man.
I see. Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, I'm not going to press you on that one. It's been
a
pleasure.
You seem real too eager to watch us.
All right. Well, listen, run free. Go like you do. I am always amazed. The thing I've said about you throughout your career is I am always stunned by your, not just your speed and everything, But they, obviously, you have always been the centerpiece of every offense you've been in, at least in terms of passing, that you are always running so wide open. In the last 20 years, I can't recall a wide receiver who consistently gets as wide open as you do when you are the centerpiece of the offense. So
small guys, you know.
Is that what it is? Yeah, they lose sight of you. Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. He's 20 yards behind us.
That's that Pink Panther, you know. He just kind of just sneaked through.
All right, I don't want the commission, everybody else, and Rich Eisen getting mad at me for taking up too much of your time here in Studio 66. So go ahead, Steve Smith. Enjoy your time on the network, but we appreciate you carving out a few minutes for us here in Studio 66. It's been a pleasure to finally meet face-to-face here after talking to you on the phone so much.
Let's get him to sign that door, and we're all
good. Oh, yes, that's what we got.
That pie's coming, though.
I thought being nice to you at the end would make you forget that. No,
I'm going to have it. Yay.
Nobody's going to forget.
I'm going in my 12th year. I've saved a little bit of money. I'm going to use some of that on you.
We didn't even have time to talk to him about the BCS.
But he's
got to
go. He's
got
to go.
We'll call you up on the phone. We'll talk to you about the BCS playoffs and all that jazz sometime soon.
Okay. Appreciate it.
There he goes. It was a good guy, huh, Ray?
Yeah, he was great.
Nice fella.
Before he came in, too, whoever was bringing him around didn't prep him of who he was coming to see. And so he walked in. We're waiting, you know, we're waiting for Dave. We're waiting for Steve. And he comes in. I'm like, hey, Steve, you know, Adam Rank, great to meet you. I go, just, you know, so you know who's who. I'm the guy who's the Lakers fan. And he goes, oh, man, he was so excited. He's like, you're the guys? That's who I'm coming? I'm like, yeah, nobody told you that's who you're coming to see? He goes, no. Call you guys all the time. Yeah, this is going to be awesome. And so he came in. And you got to give them, you know, a lot of these guys go through what they call the car wash. And they're expecting a lot of...
Because they go on three different
things. They're going on, you know, other, you know, Total Access and maybe doing a hit for fantasy football. And so his demeanor completely changed. Like, oh, okay, so I'm not going to be asked 1,000 times what Cam Newton's like.
My demeanor changed entirely when he promised to send out a mincemeat pie.
A mincemeat pie. Right.
I'm looking forward to having that.
And at the end, I spoke to him and he said that was, the podcast was his favorite part of the day. Of all the 5 or 6 different things he did... Coming in here was his favorite bit.
Is that
seeing
jive?
You guys. No, that's the true story.
Is that true?
That's the true story.
Well, what's great is he signed the door. Now, we've had a lot of people in Studio 66 over the past year, since whatever, 6 months since we moved into Studio 66. We've had Clay Matthews and DeMarcus Ware and Wes Welker and Ryan Clark and Steven Jackson and Brandon Lloyd. I sort of feel like, wow, it's too bad that they didn't sign the door, because we'd have a pretty nice little Hall of Fame going on the door there. But then again, Steve Smith has been our most regular guest since we opened the door here, so it's only fitting that he would be the first name up there. Handsome Hank, it was a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
Rank.
Yep.
And Black Tie, nice to see you.
Feelings mutual.
And Steve Smith, a pleasure to finally have you. Don't be a stranger, even if it's by telephone. We love talking to you over there in Carolina. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce next week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.